Shalom to all. Today's office chol and daf ayin vav. We're starting right at the top with a brand new Mishnah. Today's office sponsor Lili Nishmas Mars Meremzar Bats Raka Moshe Hernish Shamash should have an Aliyah. So we're back discussing Treifas for a bit, and this Mishnah is brought here because it discusses an Avraham Adodol, which was the focus of the previous dafim. Now before we dive into the Mishnah, let's try to explain as simply as possible without the need for a picture. Obviously, a picture would be very helpful, but for now, we wouldn't have those over the airways. So let's try to focus. We're going to be focusing on the back leg of an animal right now. So the back leg of a cow or sheep or goat. We're just going to be focusing on cow because that's actually what the pictures are of in all the books. The back leg of a cow has three long bones, and those are connected at two joints, or are kuvais, as the Mishnah calls them, the upper and the lower. Now, these are kuvais, are sometimes translated as the ankle and the knee, and we're going to be using those terms in the Gemara. Now, don't get confused between animal and human. On a human, the ankle is all the way at the bottom, and the knee is just about at the middle. Now, with animals, the ankle is much higher up, approximately where the human knee would be, and the knee is so high, it's actually inside the body of the animal and can't be seen from the outside, except with the camel, as the Gemara is going to tell us right at the beginning. Now, back to the leg. There are three main gidim, or sinews, which attach to the muscles of the leg, and these have a meeting point, which is called the tzomet hagidim. Tzomet in Hebrew literally means a junction, like in Yerushalayim we have tzomet Bar Ilan or tzomet Ramot. So this tzomet hagidim is lower on the leg, just about near the ankle. Now knowing that, Mishnah tells us as follows: Behema shenechtchu raglel, an animal which its leg was cut, which means it was severed, it was amputated. Min arkuva lamata, if it's below the arkuva, ksheira, it's kosher, no problem. Whereas min arkuva lamala, if it's above the arkuva, psula, it's puzzle, it's a treifa. Another psul, v'chein shenitol tzomet hagidim, if the tzomet hagidim was removed, if it was cut, if it was severed, that's also a treifa. Another psul, similar yet different, nishbar ha'etzem, if the bone wasn't severed, wasn't amputated, rather it was broken or fractured. So im roiv ha'basar kayom, if the majority of the basar, the flesh, the meat is still there, shchitasa matarasai, so shchita the animal is matarit, whereas vimlav, if not, in shchitasa matarasai, the shchita is not matarit, and we're seeing machleks about this on Amud Beis. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, Amar Rav Chia, so this is shchitas Rav Yehuda, lamata, what does the Mishnah mean in the beginning when it says that if the animal was cut below the arkuva, it's kasher, that's lamata min arkuva, immediately below the arkuva, and lamala means lamala min arkuva, immediately above the arkuva, and be'ezu arkuva amru, which arkuva is being referred to in the Mishnah, barkuva hanim karasim arosh, that's arkuva that's sold with the head, and that's referring to the ankle, the lower arkuva, lower joint, that's what the Mishnah is talking about according to Rabbi Yehuda, whereas ulam Rabbi Shaya, ulakos Rabbi Shaya, that no, kenegdoi begamal nikar, we're talking about the arkuva on the animal, the corresponding arkuva, the one just like this, on a gamal, on a camel, is recognizable, as we had said in the introduction to the Mishnah, that's referring to the upper part, the knee. On a camel, you could actually see its knee, this upper arkuva, this upper joint, and that's what the Mishnah is referring to, that if the leg is severed above it, it's a treifa, but below it, it's kosher. Now, Amar li Ula Rav Yehuda, Ula asked Rav Yehuda, Bishlam lididi, it's all good according to me, Damina, that I say, connective gomel nikar, they're talking about the upper arkuva, the knee, hanu diktani, that's why the Mishnah says, v'chein shini tel tzom sagidim, also, we have another situation, if the tzom sagidim was cut, that's a treifa. In other words, the Mishnah is talking about two distinct situations. If the leg was cut above the knee, that's a treifa. Right below the knee, it's not a treifa. But way further below the knee, right about the ankle, if the tzom sagidim was cut, that's also a treifa. So it's two distinct cases. According to you, Rav Yehuda, my v'chein shini tel tzom sagidim. Why does the Mishnah say v'chein shini tel tzom sagidim? According to you, the arkuva that we're talking about in the Mishnah is a lower one, the ankle, and that's where the tzom sagidim is. So in essence, these are really the same things. If the leg was cut off by the lower arkuva, that means the tzom sagidim is gone. Why is the Mishnah saying v'chein shini tel tzom sagidim? So I'm later, Rav Yehuda respond to him. It's actually two separate cases. Rekuva below tzom sagidim, v'tzom sagidim below rekuva. It could be the leg was cut without the tzom sagidim being cut, meaning internally the entire bone was severed, but the tzom sagidim are still intact. Or the second case of the Mishnah is the tzom sagidim were sliced, but the bone itself was fine and nothing happened to it. So really, it is two separate cases. However, Ula continues asking him, what does that mean? The Mishnah says very clearly that it was completely sliced, it was severed, it was amputated. So I could say they were talking about a situation where it wasn't fully cut. And because of this, Ishtek Rabbi Huda was quiet. Now, Lubasar Danafak, after Ula left, Amar Rabbi Huda said to himself, my time alay amrile, why not respond to him that the Mishnah is talking about the following? Lamata, lamata marnakuva. Then when it says lamata and the animal's not a trefa, that means it was cut below the ankle. And when it says lamala, that means lamala mitzoymes hagidin, above the tzoymes hagidim, which means not as we understood before, that the leg was cut off immediately above the arkuva, because that's where the tzoymes hagidin is. Rather, it means lamala, significantly above the arkuva, in other words, above the tzoymes hagidim, so we'd be talking about two separate cases. But then, Hadar Amar, Rabbi Yehuda said to himself, I'm actually happy I did not respond like that to Ula, because v'lay amrilay, didn't I already give him a different response? Ev amrili, he told me, nechchukhetani, Mishnah says very clearly that the whole leg was severed over there, and that knocked away that response of mine. Lachanami, here also, if I would have told him this, if I would have said that when it says lamala, it's referring to significantly above the arkuva, he would have told me that that's not valid either, min arkuva ulamala katani. The Mishnah says, min arkuva ulamala, and that word lamala is mashma, immediately above the arkuva, not significantly above the arkuva, and therefore this second response of mine wouldn't have been valid either, so I'm actually happy I didn't tell it to him. So this is the first version of machlekes between Rabbi Yehuda and Ula. Now, Rav Papa Masi Hachi, Rav Papa teaches as follows, Lamata, what does it mean Lamata? Lamata min arkuva, umitzaim sagidin, below the arkuva and the tzaim sagidim, and lamala, what does that mean? Lamala min arkuva, mitzaim sagidin, actually makes sense to take out these words, mitzaim sagidim over here. In other words, lamala means immediately above the arkuva. And v'chein, also the Mishnah says, shinito tzaim sagidin, a separate cases where the tzaim sagidim were severed. And now how does this new understanding of Yehuda help us out at all? Because the arkuva gufa, how does he understand the arkuva? Kidu ulam rabbi shayo, like what Ula said b'shem rabbi shayo, namely the arkuva is not the ankle, like Rabbi Yehuda said previously, rather the arkuva is the knee. Now, in summary, according to this version, both Rabbi Yehuda and Ula agree that the arkuva of the Mishnah is the upper one, the knee. Memela, both agree that if the leg is severed by the tzaim sagidim, it's a trefa, whereas if it's severed above that, on the bone, it's not. They only argue regarding what lamata in the Mishnah means. Ula holds lamata means immediately under the knee, whereas Rabbi Yehuda argues that since there is a part under the knee that does render it a trefa, namely by the tzaim sagidim, lamata has to mean way below the knee, the hainu, under the ankle, any place under there doesn't make it a trefa. So now, according to this version, both in Rabbi Yehuda and Ula, and in the previous version, according to Ula, we ask as follows: Zemika midi de ilu midli pasakle v'chaya mitasi pasakle mesa. Is there such a thing that if it's severed above, it's going to live, but if it's severed below, it's going to die? Let's just go according to his newest version, where both Rabbi Yehuda and Ula agree that if the leg is severed below the knee but above the tzaim sagidim, it's not a trefa. Whereas if it's severed at the tzaim sagidim, which is lower, then it is a trefa. So how could that be? How could it be if it's cut above, closer to the body, it's going to live, but lower down, it's going to die? So Rav Ashi answers, trefas kum dam sladadi, you're comparing different types of trefas to each other, ain't arm betrefas zudem lazu. We don't say that this trefa is like that one, and we already had this in Perek Eilu trefas numerous times. Why is that? Shari chaytcha mekanu mesa, chaytcha mekanu v'chayo. We see many times that an animal could be cut here and it will die, or it will be cut over there and it will live, therefore we can't compare different trefas. Continue to discuss this, be'ilhein tzem sagidin, what is tzem sagidin? So Rabba Am Rav Ashi, Rabba says b'shem Rav Ashi, and there's a note on the side over here that the Rashi they're referring to here is not the Rav Ashi of Ravina and Rav Ashi, who are the ones that compiled Talmud Bavli, rather it's an earlier Rav Ashi from generations beforehand. Either which way, Rabba said b'shem Rav Ashi, where's the tzem sagidim? Da agrimo levar, that's out away from the bone, meaning where these sinews start branching away from the bone, that's tzem sagidim. Whereas Rabba Rav Huna Am Rav Ashi, according to some, it's really Rav Asi, da agrimo ulegav, it's really the bone and inside, meaning it's where the gidim are connected to the bone. And Rav Abrid Rav Huna Am Rav Asi, according to some, it's Rav Ashi over here, the other tzem sagidim is different. The iloy arkuma, it's above the arkuma. The arkuma is one of the small bones in the ankle and that lower joint. And according to him, the tzem sagidim goes all the way above that. And this is a very chomer opinion because he holds that decently high up on the leg is still considered tzem sagidim. Now, another opinion, Yosef Umi Rabbanan Kamed Rav Abba, one of the Rabbanan was sitting in front of Rav Abba, Yosef Kamar, he was sitting and saying, the arkuma gufa, the tzem sagidim, which is going to make the animal a trefa, is even if it's cut by the arkuma, by that small bone itself, which is even more machmer than the previous opinion because he holds that it's even lower down, not just higher up, but even lower down. Now, Amar Leih really should be Amar Lehu, Rav Abba. Rav Abba told his Talmidim, don't listen to him. Hacham Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda said, Heichi the part tabachi, the tzem sagidim is where the butchers start flaying the leg of the animal, and that's a little bit higher up above the arkuma. And behind you, Rav Abrid Rav Barav Huna, Am Rav Asi, exactly what Rav Abrid Rav Barav Huna said, B'shem Rav Asi. Continues to discuss tzem sagidim, Am Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuley tells us, tzem sagidim sha'amru, the tzem sagidim they said, Makam shagidim tzemsen, that's from where the junction of the gidim are, meaning that's where all the gidim meet up together, and ba'ad kama, until how much, meaning how far does it extend? Tzemalehum Rabbanu, one of the Rabbanu, Rav Yaakov Shimei, his name was Rav Yaakov, he said to them, Kevin Be'er Rav Yehuda, when you were in the basement of Rav Yehuda, Amrlan, he told us that Shimu Mini Milsa, the Megava Rabba Shmieli, you should hear from me, listen to this thing I'm going to tell you, because I heard it from a Megava Rabba, from a great man, and Umanu, who was that? Shmuel, that what? Tzem Sagidim Sha'amru, the Tzem Sagidim they said, Makam Shagidim Tzemsem Bai, that's where the Gidim combine, that's where they're all together, that's the junction, and Umi Makam Shet Tzemsem, Ad Makam Shemispashtim, it's from there until they start spreading out into the meat, into the flesh of the animal, and Vakama, how much is this? So Rabbi tells us, Arba Bat Di Betura, that's four finger breaths in an ox, that's how much is considered tzem sagidim. More than that, the gidim end up just becoming part of the flesh, and it's not considered tzem sagidim anymore. Now the question is, bidakamai, what about a small animal like sheep or goat? So Rabbi says, belite, in the place where the gidim are still sticking out, they're protruding, have tzem sagidim, that's tzem sagidim, but beli, once they're absorbed into the meat, have tzem sagidim, it's not tzem sagidim. Also, ashuni, where the gidim are hard or they're still tough, have tzem sagidim, that's tzem sagidim, or zrikhiche, once they start softening out because they're becoming mur, they're becoming mushed in with the flesh, with the meat, have tzem sagidim, that's not tzem sagidim anymore. Also, alime, where the gidim are very thick, have a tzem sagidim, that's tzem sagidim, or skatine, where they already start thinning out, have a tzem sagidim, that's not tzem sagidim. Also, chivri, when they're white, that's tzem sagidim, loy chivri, if they're not white anymore, they're already changing color to red, have a tzem sagidim, that's not tzem sagidim. But now, I involve on base on top, we have an argument with this last description. Mar Bar Vashi Amar, he says, kivin de zigi, afagav de loy chivri, even if they're not white anymore, and they're zigi, which Rashi says, clearish, meaning they're clear, or they're clearish, that's still considered tzem sagidim, even though they're not fully white anymore. Continuing to discuss, Amar Meimar Shmei Zvid, he says, these gidim that we're talking about of tzem sagidim are three strands. strands, meaning they're three sinews. Chadalima, one of them is thick. Utrekatine, two of them are thin. As we're going to see in a moment, the thick one is so thick, it's actually more than the thickness of the two thin ones combined. And therefore, ifsekalima, if the thick one is cut, azdorev binyan. So we don't have the majority of the structure here anymore because we said it's thicker than the two of those combined, and therefore it's a trefa. Also, ifsekatine, if the two thin ones are cut, azdorev binyan, so the majority of the number of gidim is not here anymore, and it's also trefa. Whereas my bravashi, masni lakula, he teaches the exact same thing the opposite way. Ifsekalima, even if the thick one is snapped, ha'ikarev minyan, we still have the majority of the number of gidim here. And ifsekatine, if the two small ones snap, ha'ikarev binyan, we still have the majority of the structure of the gidim, because the thick one, as we said, is more than the thickness of the two small ones combined, and therefore it would be kosher. Now just a quick side point regarding birds, ba'ifais, shitzar chutehavo, there are 16 gidim. Ifsekhad minayu, if one of them is broken, trefa, it's a trefa. Now my ravashi, he says, I was in front of my father, ravashi, and they brought a bird in front of him, and he found that there was only 15, but then he noticed that the one of the gidim over here was a little bit different than the other ones, and naftse, he split it, and it turned out that it was two gidim that was really combined, so really there was the full 16, and he said the bird is kosher. Going back to an animal, Amr of Yehuda, Amravi tells us, the tzom sagidim they said in the Mishnah, the tzom sagidim is cut, it's severed, it's snapped, so the animal's a trefa, berubai, that's the majority of it. Now my rubai, what does that mean, the majority? Berav echad mehen, that means the majority of one of them, that already renders it a trefa. Rav Yehuda continues saying, Kamrisa kamei Shmuel, when I said it's in front of Shmuel, Amr li, he told me, mechdi letzi, tlasahavu, there's three gidim, kimizik chaminayu legamri, even if one of them is completely snapped, haiketrei, there's still two left. And that would be like the makel opinion that we had before, that as long as we have two, that's rav minyan and still kosher. Now we make a dia kinshita Shmuel, taimah deketrei, that's mashma, the reason why the animal's not a trefa yet is because there's still two gidim left. But that's mashma halekatrei that there isn't two, which means we don't have rav lice, and it wouldn't be kosher. Now according to that, upligi the rav noi, that's clearly not like rav noi. Rav noi said b'shem Shmuel, that tzom sagidim, regarding the tzom sagidim, afilu loinish tayar ba'el kachot ha'sarbol k'sheira, that if even if all the gidim, all three of them, had so much of them cut away, the only thing that's left is a thin strand, which is as thin as a chot ha'sarbol, which is a string that's used to tie together two ends of a woolen garment of sorts by the neck, so even then it's kosher. So we see this quotation in the name of Shmuel is much more makel. However, some say that this is how the conversation went. My rubai, what does that mean, rav tzom sagidim? Rav kol echad v'echad, the majority of each one of these sinews, that's going to make it a trefa, and came to the Shmuel, and I said it's in front of Shmuel. Really, he told me, Michti, let's see, Tlasahavu, there's three gidim over here. Ha'ika tilsa the chalchad v'chad, if you still have a third, and it doesn't have to be a third, which means if you have even a little bit of each one of the gidim left, that's still kosher. And in this version of Shmuel, Misayel Rav Noi, this would be a rai for Rav Noi. Dom Rav Noi Omer Shmuel, Rav Noi Seb Shem Shmuel, Tzim Sagidim Sha'amru, Afilu Loi Nishtayr Ba'el Kachot Asarbol, Kasheira. Now, going to discuss the next case of Meshur, we had said Nishbar Etzim Vachulu, that if the bone broke, which means the bone had a fracture, it wasn't completely severed, it wasn't amputated, it just broke. So as long as Rav Basar is Kayam, it's still kosher. So we have to define this. Where exactly is the bone broken? So Amarav, he says, Lamal min Arkuva, if it's broken above the Arkuva, so im roiv basar kayam, if the majority of the flesh is there, zevza mutter, both are mutter, which means both the animal and the leg are mutter to eat after shchita, but if not, if the majority of the flesh is not there, zevza asur, then both of them are asur because the animal's a trefa. Whereas lamater min Arkuva, the leg was fractured below the Arkuva, so im roiv basar kayam, if the majority of the basar is there, zevza mutter, so then both are mutter, whereas vimlav, if not, so then aver asur, the aver is asur because an aver medoldol, and we learned previously that an aver medoldol is asur to eat, but ubehem muteres, the animal itself is mutter because it's not a trefa. Now Shmuel Amar, Shmuel says differently. Bein lamala, bein lamata, it doesn't make a difference if the bone broke above or below the arkuva. The main thing is as follows: im rev basar kayom, if the majority of the flesh is there, so zev zemutter, both the animal and leg are mutter, whereas zemlav, if not, aver usser, the aver is usser, but behem muteris, the animal's mutter. So now I'm asking Rav Nachman Shmuel. Rav Nachman asks Shmuel, how can you say in that case that the animal's mutter but the leg is usser? Yoimru, people are going to say aver mena mutal ba'ashbal muteris, that an aver of this animal had to be thrown into the garbage, but the animal's mutter. Now we don't really understand what he's asking, and therefore we're going to see a question on it right now. Rav Nachman, why are you asking this only in Shmuel? L'Rav Nami, even in Shitas Rav, we have the same problem. Yomru, they're going to say, Avram men a mutal ba'ashbo muteres, then we have to throw away a limb, and the animal's mutter, it should be a trefa. So Amalei, Rav Nachman responded to him, clarifying, Hachiko Amino, this is what I meant to say. Aver shechaya mimena mutal ba'ashbo muteres, an aver that this animal lives from is just thrown into the garbage, and it's mutter. In other words, the majority of the leg is going to be cut off and thrown in the garbage, and in a way, it might look like a trefa, and you're saying the animal's kosher to eat. People might mistake this with a different situation where the animal really is a trefa, and they're going to say that it's mutter. Now, what's halacha? So shalchem itam, they sent from there, which means they sent from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. Hilchasa kavasi de Rav, the halacha is like Rav. But then halacha shalchu, they sent another message, kavasi de Shmuel, the halacha is like Shmuel. And then once again, halacha shalchu kavasi de Rav, they sent a message, the halacha is like Rav. And ve'aver atzmai metabel masa, the limb itself, when it has to be thrown away, it's not just thrown away, it's metabel masa, which means considered aver menachai, so it has a high level status of tumas nevela. Now, Masor Chizur asks on this. We have a quote a number of daf ago, which Rav Meir was talking to the chum, and he told them, loy, that's not so. Im tiar shchita shtreifa aysa ve'es aver medoldo ba. Everyone say the shchita of a trefa is matar it itself and a dangling aver from it, that's because davar shegufa, that's part of the animal itself, or the tares ha'ubar, you can say it's going to be tired of the ubar, davar she'enegufa, that's not part of it. And we clearly see from here, the Rav Meir, who's arguing with the Chamin, is more machmir, still he holds an aver medoldol, a dangling limb, it becomes tar through the shechita of the animal, which means it's not considered aver menachai, it's not tamei. In fact, you say it's metame masa. Now, Amar Leih Rabba, Rabba asks on him, why are you asking from this braisa? Hadiri farchi lam lecha, why do you have to go look for questions from braisas? Which Rashi explains, people don't necessarily know braisas. Aisim masnisin, rather you should ask from a mishnah. We had this mishnah before as well. It talks about an animal that has both an aver and basar that's medoldol. And what does the mishnah tell us? When the animal shechted, hochshu b'dameha, these things are dinging from it, become mochshel kabel toma through the blood of the animal. The Rav Meir, Rav's opinion, Rav Shimon Amar lo hochshu. Rav Shimon says they're not mochshel kabel toma. We clearly see from this mishnah that whatever is dangling from it is considered part of the animal, and it's not aver menachai. So Amar Leih Chazar respond to him, masnisin iklad chui ki dechinon. We could push away the mishnah. We could be doichet like we did back then when we discussed it, and we had explained that the mishnah is talking about just the basar which is dangling and not the aver, and therefore I asked from the brisa which clearly says aver medoldol. Now continuing with this, kisal Rav Zera, when Rav Zera went up to Eretz Yisrael, Ashkel Rabbi Yirmiya, he found Rabbi Yirmiya, the Yosef Ka'amar Lol Hashmaitza, they were sitting and saying this over, and Amar Leih told him, Yiyasher, what you're saying is good. Bechein Targum Aryeich Bavel, this is how Aryeich and Bavel said it, and I was clarify Aryeich Manu, who is Aryeich? Shmuel, it's referring to Shmuel. Nirashi over here quotes the Pasuk that says, Aryeich Melech Alasar, and Aryeich is therefore a king, and the reason why Shmuel is called that is because we paskin like him in Dini Mamanis. Now, just interesting to note, Rashi Mesechas Shabbos doesn't quote this Pasuk and explains that Aryeich refers to Shmuel, who is a Shoifet in Dini Mamanis, that makes him like a king, hence the word Aryeich, which is like Aryeh, lion. Either which way, the Gemara asks on this, Vahamiflik Palig, we just said before that Shmuel argues with his din. So I could Rav Zera say, yeah, this din is great because that's what Shmuel says. Shmuel doesn't say that. The answer is he actually does. Hadar Bei Shmuel Gabid Rav. Shmuel is actually Chayzer to hold like Rav, and that's what Rav Zera said. The Shmuel Darshan is like this. How we discuss in this broken bone. Tanar Bonar Weaver Braisa. Nishbar Etzem V'yatzal Chotz. If the bone broke and it started protruding outside the body. So Im Ar Ubasar Chayfinus Rubai. If both skin or hide and flesh and meat cover the majority of the bone, Mutter, so it's Mutter. V'im Lav, if not, Asar, it's Asar. And Makama Rubai. How much is Rav? So Kyasar of Dimi. Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael. Amar Rabbi Yechanan. He said in Rabbi Yechanan, the Rav Aivav. It's talking about the majority of the thickness of the bone. In other words, it has to be the majority of the thickness of the bone is still inside the animal, covered by the other part of the bone, or covered by the flesh and skin. But if not, if you could see the majority of the thickness, the cross section of the bone, then it would be a trefa. But Amrila, or some say, Rav HaKefai, it's referring to the majority of the outside, the circumference of the bone, that has to be covered by Aram Basar. And Harav Papa, he says, Hilkach, therefore, being a Rav Aivav, ubiin a Rav HaKefai, we have to have both the thickness and the Hekef. Now, Amr Ula, Amr Biechanan, he tells us, or Hariuka Basar, the hide is like the Basar itself, which tells us that if only hide is covering this broken bone, not a problem, even though there's no meat there. So Amr Nachman Ula, Nachman asks Ula, Volema Mar, why don't you at least say that R mitzdarf lebasar, that the R could be used as a combination with the basar to cover the bone? Why should you say that? Ha, R ubasar katani, this brass that you just quoted above says R and basar. How can you say just R? So Amr Leih responded to him, Anan, R oy basar taninon. Our version of the brisa is R or basar, not R and basar, so you don't have a question. Some say that this is a conversation. Amr Ula, Amr Biechanan, Ula Sebshim Biechanan, R mitzdarf lebasar, the R is mitzdarf to the basar. So Amr Leih Nachman Ula, Nachman said to Ula, Volema Mar, why don't you at least say that R mashlim lebasar? R could be a hashlama, it could be a completion to the basar, lechumra, and that would be a chumra. In other words, if you want to say the majority of the bone is covered, the majority of that has to be meat, and a little bit of it could be R, but not that it could be mitzdarif, mashma, that 50% of it could be R, and that's because the Mishnah doesn't even say R at all. Our Mishnah on the top of Amud Aleph says basar only, so you should at least be machmer. Amalei respond to him, Ana ovde yedana. I know of a story that happened, and that's why I said this. Dehu bar gaisla, have a bear of Yitzchak. There was a young pigeon that was bought to the mismeasure of Yitzchak, and it had a broken bone, the R mitzdarf lebasar hava, and what was covering the majority of the break was both R and basar together, and also Kamei Rav Yechanan was brought to Rav Yechanan v'achshrei, and he said that it was kosher. So Amar Leih responded to him, that's not a good raya. Bar gozel ka'amrit, you're talking about a young pigeon, bar gozel durak echshani, or bar gozel, a young pigeon, its skin is very soft, so it's actually considered like basar, and that's why it can be an equal partner in covering the break. But when we're talking about an animal, its skin, its hide is very tough, so you can't necessarily say it's able to be mitzdarif, that's able to be equal with the basar. Maybe as a shlama, completion, yes, but not equal. Now we conclude with a similar story. How do Gidim Rachim also come to Rava? Really, it's Rava. There's a story of Gidim Rachim that came to Rava, which means that the bone of the animal is broken, and part of what constituted the majority that was covering it was soft Gidim, soft sinews. So Amar Rava, Rava said, what should we chashish for over here that it would be a problem? Chada, first of all, the Amar Biachan says, Gidim Shasifel Hakshais, that sinews, even though they're going to eventually harden and you're not going to be able to eat them, as long as they're soft, Ein Zayin Amar Alpha on top, Nimna Leim Pesach, one's allowed to register because of them to a Karban Pesach. What does that mean? So we know that one has to be registered to Chabura, a group of people for Karban Pesach, in order to partake of it, and there has to be at least a kezias of meat available to register. So let's say the Karban Pesach has 20 kezaisim, 20 people could join. Rabbi Yochanan holds that the soft edible gidim also still count, even though when the animal grows up, they're going to harden. Right now, they're soft, so it's fine. That's first of all, says Rava. Furthermore, the Torah was careful about Yidin's money, and so there's no reason to be machmir over here. However, Amalei Rav Papa Rava, Papa told Rava, first of all, Rav Shimon Lakish. Rish Lakish argues with Rabbi Yechin over there that these sinews, even though they're soft, are not counted as part of the Karm Pesach, and also Visur Dereisa. We're talking about a potential Isur Dereisa, a Treifav, at Amrit my Lechoshlehu, and you're saying, what should we be Cheshish for? Because of this question of Papa, Ishtik, Rava was quiet. As a Gemara, my Ishtik, why was he quiet? Bama Rava, Rava himself said, in these three things, we're not going to talk about these three things, but one of those things is not this din regarding Karm Pesach. So we see that we don't possibly like Rish Lakish with this Karm Pesach din, so we can rely on Rabbi Yechanan. So why was Rava quiet? And the answer is actually that Shani Hacha, this case is different. To Hadar Beir Rabbi Yechanan Gabi, Rabbi Shimon Ben Lakish, Rabbi Yechanan was Chayzer, and he ended up agreeing to Rish Lakish that these Gidim, even though they're soft now, since they're going to harden, they're not part of the Karm Pesach. And how do we know this? The Amrulay, because Rabbi Yechanan told Rish Lakish, Al Takni Teini, don't argue with me, because Balash and Yachid Ani Shayna Isa, I teach that Balash and Yachid, that's just a Das Yachid, wouldn't Paskin like it. Now, what's this referring to? So it comes up later in the Masechta. It's an argument between Rabbi Yechanan and Rish Lakish, and Rabbi Yechanan told Rish Lakish, don't ask me from that Mishnah, because that Mishnah is a Das Yachid. Now, what does that have to do with over here? So originally, Rabbi Yechanan did hold of that Mishnah, and that's what his opinion in Karban Pesach was based on. However, since we see from Yechanan's response to not ask him from that Mishnah, he clearly retracted his opinion and doesn't hold of it anymore. Memela, his sheet regarding Pesach falls away. Turns out that Allah is like Rish Lakish in that case, and that's why Rava was quiet, because he realized that he was wrong. We're going to stop here for the day and pick up tomorrow with another case, but for now, everyone should have a wonderful day.